my brothers and my sisters, that on this year, as we have a theme for every year, Community of Hope, the word that we felt whispered to us for this season at Community of Hope is 2018 is the year to occupy. It's a very interesting thing, but when you look at world history, what you'll realize when you look at world history is it is separated into what they call different ages. That when in the beginning they had what was called the Stone Age, and in the Stone Age that humans were what we call hunter-gatherers. That it was in the Stone Age that we would hunt for all that we got, and we would gather, say, the fruits and the stuff from the trees that was already there, that we would hunt or gather our food. And so we were very nomadic. We would be following animals. We would just be following where we went to be able to find food. We were hunter and gatherers. But as a technological development, as over thousands of years we gained an understanding, then we moved from the Stone Age to the agricultural age. That we understood that if you put a fence around the cow, then the cow would stay in the same place, and you could be able to then also understand that if you put a seed in the ground, that you could actually be able to get a harvest. And so we learned how to cultivate the earth, and we became a part of the agricultural age as a result of technological developments. The agricultural age shifted our game because we no longer were following things all over the place, but the agricultural age allowed us to be more settled and stay in one place. And so in the agricultural age, you saw a farmer setting up farms, and you saw us setting up pieces for our families. We were staying in one place. But then what you saw was automation, and you saw the invention of things like the steam engine and later on the combustion engine, and that became what was called the industrial age, the age of machines. And that was a time in which we dealt with mass production, and so therefore we ended up building factories. That was the industrial age, and so we no longer based our lifestyle on living on the farm, but many of us then moved into what were called cities that were based around industries. That it was the industrial age. Now, a challenge right now, my brothers and my sisters, is where many of our foreparents had worked in factories and had made a good living in factories. The digital age brought about what's called the information age. The information revolution brought about a time in which now factories have died, and the power is in a computer. The power is in the fact that information is being presented to the world at levels that are so fast. And now, where there used to be people that worked in factories, now computers and robots handle the work in factories. And so therefore there was a shift. There was the information age. In other words, for every age the economy shifted. For every age, how you made your money shifted. In other words, in the Stone Age, how you survived was you went and you hunted what you ate. In the agricultural age, you planted what you ate. In the industrial age, that you worked in a factory and automation and machines helped you get it. And in the technology or the information age, it shifted it, and it shifted the flow of how you make your money. The economy has shifted. It's important to understand about how economies shift. It's important to understand what age you're in, because what age you're in often can impact how you're living, can impact where you live, how you live, and what you do because of what age you are in. And I've come by to talk to Community of Hope AME Church to let you all know that God is shifting our spiritual economy, that God is doing a work right now, that the word of the Lord for Community of Hope AME Church is that this is the age, this is the time to occupy. In other words, that this is the time to be able to move into your promised land type of situation. You've got to understand that when we look at the scripture right now, we see the children of Israel in the midst of a shift of their age, in the midst of a shift of their season. They had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and God was telling them now, it is no longer your wilderness season, but it's your time to occupy the promised land. That what I have promised for you, what I have laid aside for you, it's time for you to be able to receive everything I've called for you to receive. Your stage has shifted. Your economy has shifted. It's no longer time for a wilderness lifestyle. It's no longer time for a slavery lifestyle. Now it is time for you to occupy and move into a promised land lifestyle. Your shift has come in your life. And I've come by to tell somebody here, Community of Hope, that your shift has come in your life. And it's time to occupy. Turn to your neighbor and say, occupy. That you've been in the wilderness for too long. That you've understood a slave mentality for too long. And it's time for you to what? occupy. One of the first things you've got to understand when you have a shift and you understand it's time to occupy is, one, you've got to have a different mindset. Turn to your neighbor and say, a different mindset, a different mindset. You've got to start thinking differently. Don't you understand that you have a different mentality in slavery than you do in the wilderness, a different mentality in the wilderness than you do in the promised land? And the challenge is that for the children of Israel, that God never wanted them to live in the wilderness. The wilderness was not a part of God's plan for the children of Israel. But the problem is that when they got to the promised land, they still had a slavery mindset. And because they did not shift their mindset, they had to spend time in the wilderness to work the slave up out of them. Lord, have mercy. I'm trying to help somebody here. I'm trying to tell somebody in here, the word of the Lord for you today is, the wilderness you're in is not a wilderness God made for you. But sometimes God has a promised land you weren't ready to occupy just yet. That you were stuck in some slavery mindsets. You were stuck in some old way mindsets. And God is saying, now it is time, Lord, have mercy, for you to walk into what? The promised land. Turn to your neighbor and say, promised land, promise. Let me help you. You see, in the wilderness, that God sends food every day. In the wilderness, God sent manna from high every day. And so in the wilderness, you're used to God just taking care of you day after day after. In the wilderness, you're used to making it from paycheck to paycheck. Amen, somebody. In the wilderness, you're used to having to do a payday loan. Amen, somebody. In the wilderness, you're used to having to always have to worry about how you're going to make the next bill take place. But that's not a promised land mentality. In the promised land, are you thinking about how to leave an inheritance for your children's children? In the promised land, you're talking about generational wealth. In the promised land, you're talking about how to store up so that you can have more. You see, in the wilderness, you sit there and you deal with what you got and you use it right when you have it. That's a wilderness mentality. In the wilderness, you take what check you got and spend everything you have on whatever you want. But in the promised land, you stick some stuff to the side. You don't need the shoes, but you stick some money to the side because you understand you've got some other thing. But also in the wilderness, you got a shook mentality. In the wilderness, you've got a shook, scared mentality. That one of the things that kept them out of the promised land was they said that it's big folks in that land, and we're scared of them. We look like grasshoppers in our own sight. But in the promised land, isn't it interesting in scripture that God tells them that it's seven nations and they all bigger and stronger than you? But you gonna beat them all because in the promised land, Lord have mercy, you know that no matter how big your enemy is, your God is bigger. In the promised land, you got a different sense of swag. In the promised land, you got a different sense of confidence. In the promised land, you got a different sense of understanding that God's got your back. In the promised land, you can say like Paul, that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Is there anybody in the house today that can stick out your chest and stick your head up and say, I'm in the promised land, that I'm ready to occupy what the Lord has for me, and I don't care what devil's in the way, that if God said it, then that settles it. If God says I'm ready, then baby, I'm ready. I don't care what you say about me. I know what God says about me, and I may not be perfect, but baby, I'm ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready.
Got to have a different mindset. But the second thing is, when it's time to occupy, you got some different fights. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got some different fights. You've got some different fights. Our scripture, the scripture writer talks about that God's going to drive out the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Seven nations larger and stronger than you. There's a book that we are focusing on, a book that we're reading and dealing with in Bible study to help us to go through this season. It's called The Seven Mountain Prophecy. And in The Seven Mountain Prophecy, the writer talks about the fact that as he looks at these different nation states, he deals with them and connects them to mountains. And he connects them to mountains, and he says that for what the Lord is about to do, that there are seven mountains that Christians need to be occupying. There's seven mountains. He doesn't just list them as these names here, but he aligns each name with a different area area in living, because one of the challenges we've been doing, Reverend Bowers, is that we as a church have been keeping everybody just around one mountain. We've been keeping everybody around what they call the religion mountain. Amen, somebody? But he lists out seven mountains. He said, you've got the mountain of media and government and education and economy, religion, arts and entertainment, and family and social services. Okay, let me help you here. Media, government, education, economy, religion, arts and entertainment, and family and social services. And the challenge is that the church has taught you how to be around the religion mountain. We've taught you how to shout. We've taught you how to praise. We've taught you how to worship. We've taught you how to do good in here. But you've got a whole promised land to occupy. You've got a whole promised land to occupy. And you let the enemy occupy every other mountain. And therefore, the enemy you let occupy and entertain the culture. You let the enemy deal with the culture and influence the culture, influence the government, influence the economy, and you happy just to sit in here and shout. But the devil is a liar, that now is a season for us to occupy. What do you mean, Reverend? How can I occupy in media? Well, just because you shout on Sunday don't mean you can't run a TV show on Monday. Just because you give God praise at Bible study, it doesn't mean you can't have an album to God's honor and to God's glory, that you can be able to occupy. I'm talking about you've got to be able to occupy government. We need some good public servants that are really public servants. Our community would not be the mess it's in if we had some good folks with integrity in some offices making decisions about folks that cared about folks to God's honor, to God's glory. It's time for us to occupy. What do you mean, occupy, Reverend? I'm not just talking about that you got to go and make an album, and on the album, all you do is talk about Jesus all album. But I'm saying you can go and you can influence arts and entertainment, and you can just be a good Christian artist. What do I mean? You never got on Rakim if every song he said didn't talk about Islam, but you knew he was Muslim. You need to be able to, wherever you are, whatever your situation, whatever your position, rep your faith. That they need to know if you're a business person, you're a saved business person. They need to know if you're an economist, you're a saved economist. They need to know if you're a government official, you're a saved government official. If I got somebody in here, your children need to know you saved. You're a saved parent that's showing them the way they should go. And we've got to occupy these mountains. Somebody gonna say, but Reverend, the Bible says that they bigger and they stronger than us. Well, let me let you know the reason that the folks in the promised land were bigger and stronger than you is because God got the biggest and the baddest to take care of your stuff until you are ready to occupy. That God needed them to build you houses. You wasn't going to have to build for yourself. God needed them to tend your vineyard until you were ready to tend it. To take care of your milk and honey until you were ready for it. I wish I had somebody in here that's ready to occupy everything the enemy's holding on for me. I'm ready to grab a hold of it. See ya. You got different faiths. The promised land, you got a different mindset in the promised land. You got different faiths. But the third thing is, in the promised land, you got to use different tools. In the Stone Age, we needed a flint knife because we would use that to hunt. In the agricultural age, the tool you needed was a plow because that flint knife was not what you needed to be able to take care of your field. In the industrial age, what you needed was an engine because that was what was used, and machines that were used to be able to power the industrial power plants and the plants. And in the information age, what you needed was a computer and Google so that you could have access to all the information in that moment. Now, if I tried to use a computer to take care of plowing my field, it would be the wrong tool for the moment. If I tried to use a plow to be able to be the machinery that worked in my factory, it would be the wrong tool for the wrong situation. I've come by to talk to somebody today to let you know you've got to shift your tools. There's some tools you use in the wilderness. There's some tools you use in slavery. But there are different tools you need in the promised land. And it's somebody right now, you're going to need to start looking at what are my new tools. The regular bank account or the payday cash in your check at the liquor store may have worked in the previous time period. But that's not the tool you need right now. Right now, I need you to go to a bank and get you a good bank account, maybe an industrial bank, a good black bank, but not just a bank account. Your tool used to be a basic bank account, but right now you need to be able to look at how to shape an investment portfolio, because you need a different tool, Lord have mercy, in the promised land. Is there anybody here who knows that God needs you to do something different than the way you did it before? Because God's got a different outcome than the what God used to have. Your tool used to be your body, that you can sit and you can flex and wink and get what you need. But baby, right now your tool is your mind, and your tool is your heart, to be able to walk in the way that God wants you to walk, and to use your intellect to God's honor, to God's glory. Brother, your tool used to be your charisma. You can talk your way into anything and get anything you want. I'm gonna have you use that tool, but you gotta use it different this season. Now it's not to get panties to come down, but it's to get your credit score to come up. Have I got a witness in the house today that God wants you to use your tool in a new way? I know, Lord have mercy, it must have been rough being the children of Israel, walking up into the promised land. You've been used to using slavery tools. You've been used to using wilderness tools. You don't know nothing about no promised land tools. How are we gonna make it in the promised land? But I'm so glad to tell you, even though you got new tools, you got the same God, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Sarah, the same God that got you out of Pharaoh's Egypt, the same God that got you through the Red Sea, the same God that made ways out of no ways in the wilderness, is the same God that will help you occupy in the promised land. Have I got anybody in here that knows he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? In other words, the same God that got grandmama through, the same God that got mama through, is the same God that will get you through. Have I got anybody in here that will give God glory? The same God, the same God got us through the middle passage. The same God got us through slavery. The same God got us through segregation. Same God got Barack and Michelle in the White House, is the same God that will get us past 45. Have I got a witness in here? It's the same God. He's able. God is able to work it out for you. Say yeah. Somebody shout occupy. Somebody shout it's my season. It's my time to occupy. If you believe it, give God praise. If you believe it, give God the glory. If you believe it, say yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's my season to occupy. Would you stand all over the church, all that are able? Stand all over.